Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome in to The Scoop, the number one UNC football recruiting podcast in the world. It's part of the Inside Carolina Podcast Network, and it's brought to you by our good friends at Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. I'm your host, Ross Martin. As always, I'm joined by Don, Donnie Scoops Callahan. What's going on, Don?
Not much. I'm just excited for a bathroom break-free episode of the Scoop Podcast. What about you?
Yeah, I want to go ahead and apologize to our listeners for going to the bathroom. That was supposed to be edited out of our last podcast, and that's all on John Siegley. John was supposed to edit out the bathroom break, and I guess
he's sleeping at the wheel.
Did it not get edited out of the video? Was that the issue?
Yeah, it definitely was not edited out of the video, and I guess I dropped an F-bomb while you were gone, because usually even we have obvious edits that are taken out, but we've never had a bathroom break before. So the fact that the bathroom break was actually caught, and the fact that you couldn't wait a little bit kind of surprised me a little bit. So I dropped the F-bomb, which was surprisingly the first thing, because you know how it is. We post the podcast, but we don't actually post it up on the site until that afternoon. Early that morning, I got like a tweet from someone who said, was criticizing me about dropping an F-bomb, and I was like, I didn't drop an F-bomb on the podcast, but I did. I just didn't realize it wasn't going to be edited out.
And I got a message from Ben saying, did you mean to leave in the bathroom break? And I was like, no, I told John to take it out. So it's all on John, not on us.
Did you mean to leave in the bathroom break?
So I mean, people go to the bathroom, like, I'm not ashamed of I mean, it's kind of society makes bathroom stuff, bathroom humor, and other stuff that goes on.
You love bathroom humor,
doors.
Though.
It's great. But society makes it not appropriate.
Yeah. Who cares? Even though everyone does it.
All right. We got a huge show, massive show. We're going to get into a couple recruits and kind of updates on their recruitment, starting with Malachi Hamrick, who committed to UNC between the last time we recorded. So we'll talk Malachi Hamrick, UNC's 2022 linebacker commitment. We're going to talk about Jalen Walker, another linebacker recruit. Then Gunnar Givens and Zach Rice, two 2022 offensive tackles from Virginia who Don visited over the last week or so. And then we're getting to QB recruiting for 2022 and discuss a couple other kind of just housekeeping things. And then we're going to bring on Shaquille Rashad, star linebacker for the Tar Heels from – I guess his senior year was 2015. So he was kind of that end of the Fedora era. Well, not really end of Fedora era, but like the peak Fedora era, 2012, 13, 14, 15 was Shaquille's time at UNC. We're bringing him on for a short discussion of all things UNC football, not necessarily much recruiting stuff, but just kind of a check-in with him and his take on UNC football, the direction, maybe some recruiting stories, things like that. And we'll close with our top five. Our top five is top five sequels. And how many submits did we get, Don?
We actually got a lot. People love the movie top fives. We have not come up with a new top five
yet. We'll skip it. We'll skip top five for next week and bring back the next time, unless we think of something between now and then. So that is it. Let's get right into it. Don, Malachi Hamrick, you were at his commitment. He committed to the Tar Heels. He is the fourth commitment for UNC. Four-star guy, 6'4", 205, outside linebacker, kind of defensive end spot, ranked 150 in the nation, number five in the state of North Carolina, and the first in-state commit for the Tar Heels right from Shelby, North Carolina. You were there. What was it like? A little bit about his recruitment and his commitment, and we'll go from there.
the actual announcement, I mean, all these announcements are always so interesting because, you know, you have teachers kind of putting it together who have a lot of other responsibilities and are way more important than announcements. So when I showed up, it was supposed to be like 4, something like that. I showed up about an hour ahead of time, and there was no one there except for one of the rivals writers who cover recruiting.
Who's that?
Dina King.
Okay.
And so for an hour, it was just her and I in the auditorium, just kind of sitting there. And so, it was funny because like at 4 was when the team came in, because obviously they're doing stuff pregame because this is right before their football game. And so it really didn't get started until like 4:15, but it was a great event. A lot of family came and all that. And I don't think anybody was surprised by his selection.
I mean, we kind of previewed it and kind of did the podcast for him last week. Yeah. Outside linebacker, has the speed, has the length, needs to add weight. He looked bigger than I thought in the videos and pictures that you got. Anything else about him that we need to cover?
Yeah, so I think the main thing with him is, and I was actually talking to another writer that covers another team about this, is that a lot of teams liked him, for sure. He had a bunch of offers. But some defensive coordinators might have struggled to find, like, a position spot because he needs to gain weight to be a true defensive end. Mm. If you put him at outside linebacker in, like, in a 4-3 scheme, then you take away some of his best abilities, which is his pass rushing. But for Jay Bateman's scheme, and really even, you know, just a true 3-4 scheme, he's perfect because he has the athleticism, the length to play in space, but his main, I guess, tool is his pass rushing ability. And that's what Jay Bateman wants at that position. He's super explosive, has an explosive first step, uses his length really well, and just a smart kid who knows how to get to the quarterback.
Will UNC take another outside linebacker?
Yeah, I think they'll take at least one more kind of that fits that same sort of mold, maybe even 2 more, depending on how the chips fall.
Okay, great. Your hair is looking extra great today. You got a haircut, looks like.
It's probably been a little bit, you know, I just kind of let it go. You know, I take a shower, I kind of mess with it.
Shower,
you know,
right.
And then just let it do what it does.
It's looking really thin on the side. Like, not thin, like really shaven on the sides.
I mean, it's been, I don't know when I last got a haircut, but
this is a good time to wish you a happy 40th birthday.
Yeah, my birthday, it was last Friday. So, yeah.
Okay, we'll get into a little bit more of that later. Stay tuned. I got a lot of questions about Don's life up, maybe after the Shaquille Rashad interview. But
we got more important things to get to.
Wanted to go ahead and get the happy birthday out of the way. Don turned 40 last Friday. Who would have thought? Still young. All right, next up, I mean, Malachi Hamrick, 4th commitment, good get for the Tar Heels, the top player in the state, one of the top players in the state, someone they needed to get, and they got him. There you go. That's all we got. Okay, scrolling down here. Okay, Jalen Walker. I've seen his name a bunch on – Another in-state guy from Salisbury. Seen his name a lot of crystal balls coming in for Clemson. A very talented linebacker, 6'2", 220, number 50 in the nation. So a very high-ranked kid, a high 4-star, number 4 outside linebacker in the country, and number 2 player in the state, right behind Travis Shaw. Don, I mean, everything is looking like Clemson for him, mm-hmm. but I was reading your scoop, and not to give away too much intel, but it seems like UNC staff seems relatively confident they still have a chance with him.
Yeah, I think UNC has put a lot of resources into recruiting him, obviously he's a really good player, and that's number one. They want a really good player. But I think the fact that Clemson, that he if he doesn't go to North Carolina, he's likely to end up at Clemson, that brings an extra focus onto it, because really that's what North Carolina needs to do to take the next step, is to beat Clemson on the football field and also beat Clemson for recruits in its own state. You know, even last year North Carolina had a whole lot of success in state. We've talked about that ad nauseum the past year, but Clemson still got mm-hmm. what was it, two
they
or
got
three
the, they three got the defensive end from Winston-Salem.
You got Will Shipley,
And running back, Will Shipley from the Charlotte area. And yeah, who else?
And Peyton Page.
They kind of backed off of, right?
Well, North Carolina didn't really back off. North Carolina definitely wanted him. He at one point was like I think he was almost a five-star, right on that verge, and then kind of dropped because of some camp performances and questions about his work ethic. But he was still, those three guys were still top 10 guys in state and really towards the top half. You know, they were at, you know, top five range. And Clemson wanted them, got him. Zaire Patterson, which is the defense end you're talking about, was a guy UNC really, really wanted, thought they were going to get. And then we're told a couple weeks before his announcement that North Carolina wasn't even in the top two. So those three losses were, you know, kicks in the nuts. And so they're trying to prevent that from happening, not only with Jalen Walker, but with Travis Shaw, whose recruitment hasn't advanced nearly as far as Walker's, obviously. But, you know, it's going to send a huge message if North Carolina can beat out Clemson for this. And there's definitely some there's a chip on North Carolina's coaches staff's shoulder in landing this commitment.
So he's announcing, I think it said March 26th.
Yes. It's a Sunday. Yeah, it's a Sunday.
That's a Friday. So is it March 28th?
March 28th is probably correct.
Okay. So, I mean, what are UNC's chances here? You're seeing all the crystal balls coming in for Clemson. I mean, just being a good journalist here, asking the right questions. You know, you use Anna Hickey, your boy Michael Clark, Tom Loy, who I think is pretty good and pretty connected. Your boy Keith Niebler.
Kneeburn.
I like Keith. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. Definitely unique.
Yeah. You see him on Twitter, like all of a sudden he's like in Ireland posting pictures. Like, we're supposed to be covering Auburn football. All right. So what do you think chances are here? You have sources inside the program.
Yeah.
And it seems like everything's leading to Clemson. He's got family connections to Clemson. His dad coaches camps there. Yet you think UNC still has a chance?
Yeah, I think all the arrows point to Clemson. I mean, and then the fact that it didn't happen, but this past weekend there was this plan for both Jalen Walker and Travis Shaw to just take a quarantine visit to Clemson on Saturday. And you would think, what's the purpose of that? To me, I look at that, I'm thinking, oh, wow, Walker's already recruiting for Clemson, you know, trying to get this, you know, Travis Shaw down there with him. That didn't materialize. But, I mean, you know, talking to UNC, I mean, I can't count them out. I know that talking to some other sources that are close to Clemson, it seems like if Clemson has been told by Jalen what he's going to do, they are definitely not letting that be known. But there's definitely a whole lot of confidence coming out of Clemson. And I think what needs to be pointed out is Jalen Walker's dad is Curtis Walker, who's the head coach at Catawba. And for the past several summers, Curtis Walker has worked Clemson's camps. And, you know, that sort of connection is only going to help Clemson. Also, KJ Henry, who's a defensive lineman at Clemson, he grew up with Jalen Walker. So I think that plays a role. And he's made a bunch of visits to Clemson. He might have made more visits to Clemson than North Carolina. Also, watch out for Georgia. I talked to some sources with Georgia. They still feel like they're kind of sort of in it. Although I don't, and they actually think it's down to Georgia and Clemson. If that tells you anything, you know, we're just kind of putting the piece of the puzzle together right now.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Gunnar Givens, Zach Rice, and QB recruiting for UNC. We're also going to dive into our interview with Shaquille Rashad. So stay on the line. We'll be right back. But first, I want to talk to you about Johnny T-shirt and GiantT-shirt.com. Spring is here. It's time to upgrade the outfits, Don. You got to get your baseball jerseys. You got to get your Carolina basketball jerseys. It's time to throw down with some darties. You know what a darty is, Don?
I do not.
It's a day party. And nothing goes better with a darty than a UNC basketball jersey, a baseball.
Are you throwing any darties anytime soon?
Nah, no darties for me. UNC baseball jersey, couple buttons undone. Get all that at Johnny T-shirt, GiantT-shirt.com. Get new hats. Got to block the sun. Summer, spring, right around the corner. Head to Johnny T-shirt and GiantT-shirt.com. Get everything you need for UNC, including the 10% off discount code, which you get from being an Inside Carolina subscriber. I was going through a lot of Don's weekly scoops. Just tons of intel, tons of information. Spring practices around the corner for football. We'll be dropping scoops on there. So you get some team scoops from Greg and myself, checking our sources daily. But you need to head to Giant T-shirt and GiantT-shirt.com. Get all the stuff you need for spring and summer. Get gifts, birthdays, anniversaries. A lot of weddings coming up. A lot of weddings in the spring and summer, Don.
Are you getting married?
Nah.
Right. You are on the market.
My wedding, my chances for an engagement and wedding has been postponed another couple years down the line. Oof. We had a couple hiccups. So
that's right. And if you are interested in Ross Martin, please tweet me at Don Callahan IC and I will hook it up.
There you go. And this is the last bit. Johnny T-shirt, DianeT-shirt.com, JohnnyT-shirt.com. Use the promo code on Inside Carolina's premium message boards. National ads coming up. And we'll be right back with some QB talk and some offensive line talk and a Shaquille Rashad interview.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount+.
And we're back. Don, let's get right into it. We teased it. You went up to Virginia, Central to Western Virginia, I believe, to talk with Gunnar Givens and Zach Rice. Let's start with Gunnar Givens, a little bit newer name, I think, for some people. I think Zach Rice has been around for a year or so on the message boards. Just quickly, what's going on with Gunnar Givens' recruitment? And then we'll go from there.
Yeah, so we ran an actual full update with Gunnar today, but if you're listening to this, it was Wednesday. Where it just kind of breaks down his situation fully. He announced the top six back in November, and he's in this update talks about just where he's going as far as what his next steps are, when he wants to make a decision, where North Carolina is, his thoughts on North Carolina, who's recruiting him, that sort of stuff.
Okay, and quickly, sorry, this is my fault. Gunnar Givens, 6'5", 290, from Lord Botetourt High School in Daleville, Virginia. He's a 91 overall prospect in the country, number 8 offensive tackle, and number 3 player in Virginia. Don, where's Daleville?
It's right outside Roanoke.
Okay. So we're talking a little bit mountains, foothills area, kind of close to Blacksburg. Mm-hmm. Roanoke is like 20, 30 minutes from Blacksburg. So right kind of in that heart of Virginia there. All right, Don. So what are the top schools there for Gunnar?
Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, and Penn State.
Okay. And what vibes did you get from his recruitment to UNC?
I feel like he is definitely strongly interested in North Carolina, but really needs to make that first visit to Chapel Hill to get a feel for the campus. And I think that a lot of his recruitment is going to be determined on feel. And so obviously that business is important. He hasn't been able to do that because we've been in a dead period for a year now.
Okay. So he needs, every recruitment I feel is like this. Just looking from some of the photos, this guy looks like he is almost college ready already. Is that kind of the vibe you got?
Yeah. Both him and Zach Rice are impressive looking kids. I mean, they look like you want your left tackle to look. With Givens, he's a little bit more muscle bound, both impressive looking kids. Has the height, length, all that sort of stuff, and they look athletic. Like they look like they could definitely beat me in a race.
They don't look sloppy.
No.
No, I noticed Gunnar had some tribal tattoos on his arms.
I did not ask him about that.
Thoughts on that?
I mean, I have zero tattoos.
Yeah.
You have that butterfly tattoo right in your. Near your area. but besides that, do you have any others?
No, that's all I got. Butterfly tattoo.
Okay.
From my, I'm not even getting into it. Benny, for listening to this, that was Don who brought that up.
Okay.
Okay, I think that's about it on Gunnar Givens.
Yeah, let's go to Zach Rice.
Okay, Zach Rice, quickly. You've been on his recruitment for over a year now, it feels like. Any updates of note that you need to inform our readers about, listeners are about?
Yeah, I think very similar with Givens, although Zach has actually been to North Carolina a couple times, but it was always as a spectator. He went to a couple games last football season. Mm-hmm. He wants to take his official visits more than anything else. And he has 5 instead of a 6. Some of the same schools: North Carolina, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Alabama are his 4. And then he wants to find his 5th, which will likely be Virginia, because he has some ties to Virginia. His grandfather played football at Virginia, and his mother grew up just right there outside of the stadium. So has a lot of, family in that area.
Okay. And yeah, I mean, so are there any updates, anything new, anything about UNC of relevance that you can tell us?
Just, like I said, I mean, he wants to take official visits, and he plans to take official visits during the summer and make a decision as soon as he can. I think North Carolina is in a great spot. He likes, we did a full update on him earlier in the week on Monday, and he talks about just, his relationship with some of North Carolina's commitments. Because as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, UNC has 4 commitments. 3 of them are actually from Virginia. Mm-hmm. And he has some familiarity with those guys. And he talks about that and just where he's going with his recruitment in the update that we posted earlier in the week.
It's kind of convenient how these two guys are pretty close to each other. Lynchburg is not that far from Roanoke, in that area.
Yeah, it's about an hour. I just did it. But
from the two schools, they're about an hour from each other?
Yeah, roughly an hour.
Yeah.
And really, the last time and obviously I'm only going up there if North Carolina's recruiting a guy, but the last time I was up in that area was Landon Turner. He's from Harrisonburg, which is kind of sort of in that sort of area too. But that's the only time I've really been in that area.
Do you know what college is in Harrisburg?
JMU, right?
That's right. Okay,
college is in Lynchburg.
Liberty and Lynchburg.
Yes. That's the other thing about the Zach Rice is that he goes to Liberty Christian Academy, and that is literally on their campus.
It's probably part of the school, right?
I mean, it has a separate building, but
I'm saying it's probably affiliated with the school.
Oh, yeah. But it was trying to navigate and try to get to the practice field, and you're dodging college students and all that was kind of a little bit of a pain in the butt. And knowing where to park, anybody who goes to a college campus knows if you park in the wrong spot, you're going to end up with parking tickets pretty quickly. So
what's your stance on paying off parking tickets in places that you're not going to be back to?
I don't think I should answer that question.
Well, it's like if you get a parking ticket, I mean, for example, like in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm never going to be there again in the next year. And I'm not going to be into a certain town. Like, what are they going
to
do?
I'm just going to say, Ross, I am no rat. So you have nothing to worry about.
I'm just wondering what people think about that. Cause it's kind of like, I mean, at colleges, I guess like they won't let you graduate. It's kind of like if you don't return your books at a library, they won't let you graduate, that kind of deal. Mm-hmm. But if you get a ticket like in bum F town, like what are they going to do? Call you back and make, I don't know. It just seems silly. All right. We digress. If you had to pick, if you had Zach Rice or Gunnar Givens and you could only take one, who would you take? All right. For reference, Zach Rice is ranked significantly higher.
Yeah.
21 overall, 1 offensive tackle. But I mean, they've missed a whole season. The evaluations on these two kids, they're not that far apart. They're only 70 places apart. And they both have all the tools, it looks like. Zach Rice is the number 1 offensive tackle in the nation.
Yeah, so I've actually seen Zach Rice perform in person. I watched his practice while I was there for about an hour. And I would go with Zach Rice. I like what he has. I like the fact that he has a little bit of a edge to him with his blocking, seems to enjoy blocking, great mobility. I've seen it in person, whereas it's a little different on film.
Okay. And you mentioned Liberty University. Are you a big Jerry Falwell guy?
I don't think I am. Okay. What about you?
I'm going to go no comment with that. But I'll say I do not agree with Jerry Falwell's politics. And if that's a problem, you don't have to listen to this podcast. Okay. Moving on, before we bring on Shaquille Rashad,
I'll say I don't know a whole lot about it. Yeah. I've heard things.
Well,
I haven't
Jerry
looked
Falwell
into it.
Is dead. Jerry Falwell Jr. is still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
Just from the little I know, I'm probably in the same category as you, but yeah. I haven't done a whole lot of digging into that. He doesn't. It's weird just how even with this you brought him up. It's just that area. You know, he's always brought up. I don't know too much about him, to be honest, though.
Yeah, I wonder if someone will complain on the message boards about us saying that. Yeah. Okay, and before we bring on Shaquille Rashad, let's go quickly into the 2022 quarterback situation. Honestly, I've read a couple of your articles here and there about quarterbacks, because obviously that's a position of interest. And it seems like there's been a couple commitments and movements the last week or two. What's going on right now, given I think there's two guys that committed to Alabama and Clemson that's kind of switched up where UNC is going to be looking?
Yeah, so with recruiting every year, it's always this domino effect. And, I mean, UNC kind of had like a front row seat. You know, they offered four quarterbacks. Braden Locke is the only one who's uncommitted, but the guys you're talking about, Cade Klubnik, who ended up committing to Clemson, Ty Simpson committed to Alabama, and Gunnar Stockton, who had visited North Carolina a bunch, but he committed to South Carolina, decommitted with all the coaching changes, and then he went and committed to Georgia pretty quickly. But Ty Simpson had eliminated North Carolina, but basically what he was going to do was kind of going to determine or kind of dictate some of the path North Carolina is going to take. The fact that he picked Alabama meant that Clemson would offer Klubnik, and then Klubnik committed to Clemson immediately, whereas UNC probably had a really good, had a good shot at Klubnik. It would have been interesting to see had Simpson committed to Clemson and then Clemson not offer Klubnik, what Klubnik would have
Alabama
done.
Alabama not offer Klubnik.
Alabama did not offer Klubnik.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so it would have been interesting to see. I mean, I guess they could have, but North Carolina was definitely kind of in that top group for him. So UNC is now focused on Braden Locke. We ran a story on him probably about a month or so ago where he mentioned that he wants to take a quarantine visit to North Carolina. From my understanding, he's going to try to coordinate that to where he's able to drop by during North Carolina spring practice and during that time frame. So I think we'll know a lot more if and when that visit takes place, what North Carolina is going to do, because at some point they're going to have to say, all right, if you're not going to be our guy, we need to go in a different direction.
Yeah. Braden Locke, who is it safe to say he is UNC's priority now in 2022?
Yeah. He's the only one who has an offer.
Okay.
And the thing with him is that, well, Mississippi State just offered, which they have a whole different domino thing that just happened recently with them that I won't even get into. But, besides Mississippi State, which is new, the biggest competition of North Carolina was Miami, but Miami has its eyes on Ja'Cory Brown, a four-star out of Georgia. That's their priority. They have a good shot to land him, so they aren't really messing with Locke too much. All the other schools that have offered Locke are, I think, Wake Forest and Kansas, which doesn't have a head coach right now, and a couple of Group of Five schools in Texas.
Braden Locke, 6'1", 180, number 588 in the nation, 29 pro style quarterback, number 89th player in the state of Texas. Obviously, Texas is loaded with prospects. Of course, I look at his profile here, and there's no one who's recruiting him from UNC because Don doesn't do his job on the
profile. Bill Longo.
I will insert that right now into his profile. But Braden Locke, I guess now is the major target for UNC at quarterback. All right. We're going to bring on Shaquille Rashad here in a bit, former UNC linebacker. We then got a little bit of other news and chatter about UNC football, and then we're going to get into our top five sequels. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Shaquille Rashad. And we're back on the Scoop podcast presented to you by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. We have a very special guest, former UNC linebacker, Shaquille Rashad joins us. What's up, Shaquille?
What's up? It's exciting to be here. It seems like that was decades ago now that I was actually playing football.
That's right. And Shaq's been on, I think, a podcast with Vip a couple times. I've done a video with you when you were on the staff at UNC. So you're well-versed in the world of IC. We just want to bring you on, kind of get an update of what's going on with you, and then get into some UNC football stuff and recruiting stuff. First of all, what are you doing right now? Where are you? What's your life look like right now?
Yeah, so I actually still live in the area. I live right over in Briar Creek, so I'm in Raleigh. Working at a company called Teamworks. It was actually founded by, and I know people might not like this, but founded by a former Duke football player. So it's software in elite athletics. So we work in collegiate space, professional space. So it's exciting. So I'm selling software to the space and the teams I used to play against.
Is that where Landon Turner works?
He is. He's writing the code. So he makes the software. I sell it. Still working on the same team.
There you go. All right. So what's your connection right now to UNC football? Like who are you talking to? How close are you with the program? I know your buddy Jeff still works on the defensive staff. Kind of what's that look like from you and your tightness with the program right now?
Yeah, still obviously have friends there, like a lot of the same faces and everything walking around the building. But I will say one thing that I've really enjoyed after, you know, playing football from the time I was 4 till like 23 and then coaching 23, 24, it's been incredible to step outside of it and not have to worry about like day to day on the inside of it. So still connected to the people on the inside, still very much in touch with them. But honestly, it's like just the relationship, still getting to know them and things like that, more so than it is like what's going on day to day on the inside. So I've loved not knowing all that stuff and just being a true football fan lately, honestly.
I was going to ask, like, how fun is it to be a fan come football season when you have nothing to worry about but just watching the game and having some cold ones?
I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, instead of, you know, an hour and a half before game time, grabbing call sheets and making sure everything's good and checking what players on their team are playing or not playing. Like, I'm just sitting there watching College game day. I get up at like 8 a.m. and I'm ready to roll and to be the college fan that I haven't been able to be, you know, for a long time now. So it's exciting. This was a weird year to do it in. But I'm excited to get to just travel to games and watch UNC. And it's fun. It's been different, but exciting.
Great. Don, you want to take over?
Yeah. So this is a recruiting show, so I did want to ask about your recruiting, even though Ross says your recruitment was pretty boring, which is actually kind of my question, is that you had like a no-nonsense approach to your recruiting. You took a bunch of visits, and this is way back, so bear with me if I'm wrong with some of the details, but you took a bunch of visits during your junior year, and then right after the signing day, prior to your signing day, you committed and you stuck with that commitment. Now, I know your brother went through the process because he ended up going to UCF. But was that the influence, or was there another influence that had you just kind of take this very just straightforward approach to your recruitment? And really, it seemed like you definitely focused on the school and not necessarily football side of things.
Yeah, I think one thing that I was really fortunate in going through that process was that, like you said, I had an older brother, 8 years older than me. So by the time I was getting recruited, if I'm doing this math right, and I should know this, but by the time I'm getting recruited, right, he's in the NFL or he's done with his career by that time. So we've seen it all play out, right? And so as I'm looking into what schools I want to go to, my whole thing was like, pick a school that you would want to go to without football. So before I ever got my first offer, before I ever got a call from a coach, I knew like what I was looking for in a college. And so like when recruiting came, I knew exactly what I was looking for. I got the UNC offer. And it honestly came at a time that my offers were starting to pick up. So for a lot of people, I was like crazy, right? To say your offers are picking up. You just got an SEC offer. What are you doing committing now? But I was like, this is what I want. And to be honest, I hated the recruiting process. I hated really? Getting calls from people all the time, asking stuff. I hated the fact that, and then like coaches are going to do what coaches are going to do, right? They want you to come to their school and they're going to put their school in the best light. But I've been me at that point, right, for the last 17 years. I know what's best for me a little bit better than somebody I met 2 months ago. And so to me, I knew what I wanted. And when I committed, I politely called every coach that I'd spoken with and said, really appreciate everything you did. Please don't call me again. I'm done with recruiting.
It's so interesting that you say that, because even now, and again, this was, I can't, what class were you part of? Was that the, let's see, the 2012 class. So that was a while ago, but I still remember that if I called you, you were going to answer the phone and you were going to be more than willing to do an interview. I never had you. I mean, I could go on and on about other recruits, but you were awesome about it. So did you like doing interviews, but you just didn't like dealing with college coaches, picking your brain and all that?
No, it wasn't that I didn't like the coaches. I mean, I liked it all. I just knew that the best decision coming out of it would be from something that I did not, someone else taught from. That's why I was always willing to pick up the phone, answer, talk about it, because I was very sure of what I was doing. I don't think that there was like the fear that, like, oh, I want to keep it tight to me. I knew my decision process and what it's going to look like, so I was more than happy to do it.
So while your recruitment was short and pretty boring, the year that followed was not. That was actually a pretty crazy year, as you know. You know, for those who don't remember, that's when the crap hit the fan and Butch Davis was fired. Everett Withers was the coach for a little bit there, and there was some thought that he might stick on. And then obviously Larry Fedora was hired. What was that like? Because I know every single time something changed like that, I'm calling you. But for you to deal with that, to constantly, I mean, was it just you were just so firm in your decision that it just didn't matter? Or because you were choosing the school and not the football program? Just tell me, what was it like going through all that?
Sure. Yeah. And you hit it on the head. Like, to me, one of the things my brother told me and that I talked about with my parents was like, pick a school that, like, God forbid, right? Day one, you step on campus, you tear both ACLs, break both legs, like all arms are gone. You never play another snap of football. Pick a place, you'll be happy. And so when head coach changes, when AD changes, when staff changes, I was like, you know what? Like, oh, well, you know, this is what I prepared for. I actually spent that time. I was Dan Mastromateo. Like, we had gotten close through the recruiting process. And like, when all that stuff is happening, like, I was more so hitting on my buddies that had also committed, like, hey, like, you're still coming, right? Like, we're friends at this point. You don't get to jump ship now. You still have to come. And he's the one I pick on. But no, I think that you hit it on the head and saying that, like, because I picked the school, because I picked everything else around football, that was a no-brainer for me to stick with UNC. Like, never wavered a little bit.
Speaking of Dan Mastromateo, he was actually the one who panicked a little bit. I don't know if you remember this. He decommitted and then a week later recommitted. Do you remember that? Were you part of that at all, trying to get him back in the ship?
Of course I was. And me and Dan went on to live together for 3 years. I saw that he decommitted and reached out immediately and talked him off the cliff. We got him back.
There you go. So you were obviously at UNC for 4 or 5 years, and then you were on staff. You went to the NFL for a little bit, then back on staff for a year or two, maybe just a year. What can you tell us about recruiting from the inside that listeners and maybe ourselves don't know? Like, I mean, like stories about, you know, visits, hosting players, some things that, you know, maybe you can share that aren't too salacious. What's some stuff that maybe we don't know about the
inner
works?
Share the salacious stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to tell us, if you want to blow a top off an investigation or anything, go ahead. But maybe stuff that we don't know or that listeners don't know about recruiting that you saw from the inside.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people just don't appreciate that it is legitimately 24/7. It's the strangest thing to think about. But like, imagine 40, 50, 60, you know, 7 years old in some of these coaches' cases, you spend like 90% of your life talking to 15 and 16 year old kids. Like, it's the strangest thing. And it's not that it's just when they're on campus or just when they're like, you always have to be doing research, even in dead periods. You have to be understanding, watching film all the time. Like, there's allotted time every single day to watch every single kid in your position group that like could possibly come, because you don't want to miss on anything. So like, if my area to recruit Charlotte, it's not that I have some people all like boots on the ground in Charlotte that are scouting for me. Like, I'm gonna go through every high school I know that's cranking out kids and watch every kid. Might be terrible, right? But I've got to watch it, because I Williams, right? Like, he was at a smaller school, not a ton of offers. If someone doesn't pick up that tape and watch, I forget what it was, but I don't think they'd put out like a FBS player in years. Like, if someone doesn't decide to actually watch that tape and really get him, the kid never shows up at UNC. So you can't miss on.
Who was that last player you said? We missed it.
Javonte Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Smaller school, right? Eastern North Carolina. They're not cranking out a ton of talent all the time.
All right, we're going to wrap up this interview with Shaquille Rashad. We've had some audio issues, but hopefully you've gotten the gist of most things he said. So when you were a GA, right? So what was your role in recruiting when you were a GA? Like, how much of a role did you have in recruiting? Were you even part of that? And how did that kind of play out?
Yeah. So as a GA, and like in those roles, you don't get to do certain things, right? Cause you're like, only accountable coaches can do certain things, but really like when they're on campus. So watching a lot of film, evaluating there is a lot of your role. And then aside from that, it's a lot of when they're on campus, right? Cause GAs tend to be the younger guys, the ones that are a little bit closer to them in age. So you can relate to them a little better. You can talk to them, like me specifically, right? And then Jeff and some of the other guys on staff, when they're on campus, when you are allowed to talk to them, what you can do is like talk about your experience there, right? I graduated at that point 2-3 years before. And so a lot of what I had lived would be what they would be going through as they came on. So they could kind of relate to that, talk about those things. And I think that that's the role a lot of the GAs end up playing across the country. And I won't try to speak for every school or even every staff at UNC, right? Because it could have changed now. But like, I think that being the GA, you're the younger guy, you can relate to them a little bit better. You don't really go on the road and things like that. But when they come to campus is when a lot of your stuff happens.
What were the hours like for you?
Long and fun. Like, I think that a lot of people think that, like people have asked me, like, why'd you get out of coaching? Hours too long? I was like, no, I love football. So 6 a.m. to midnight wasn't a big deal for me. I love that. I just knew that it wasn't for me long term. But the hours are long for sure, especially in season, especially during training camp. I mean, you got to think, like, if you're on the field practicing at like 7 a.m., 6 a.m., like, you got to get in there and be ready before that, which means you have to have practice scripted, the field set up, right? You have a lot of things to do before that. So you're going to have some early mornings, a lot of late nights, but it's all worth it when you step up the field with a win for sure.
You mentioned Jeff Schottmer, and obviously listeners will know who he is. Starred with you at UNC at linebacker, played a big role in that 2015 team. He's still on the staff. He's been on the staff for the last, I want to say, 4 or 5 years now. He is a linebacker quality control or assistant or whatever you want to call that role here. They're all kind of meld together. What has he told you about the defense at UNC, Jay Bateman, what they're doing, and working with the linebackers that you can kind of share with us?
That there's just some freaky dudes. But, I mean, you can see that stuff on TV. Like, some of those guys are bringing it now, and I think I tweeted this a while back, like, on Friday. It's like, what the heck are these dudes? Like, these guys don't look like the freshmen, the 17-year-olds that came in with us. They look like aliens. They look like people that are ready to enter their fourth year in the NFL. And that's what I've talked to Jeff about a lot. It's like, what the heck? Like, what are these guys? Like, I turn on TV, I see this dude, I'm like, wow, we got a 5th-year grad transfer linebacker. Like, no, he's a 17-year-old freshman safety. It's like, what the heck is up with these guys? Like, where are you getting them? But that's honestly been a lot of what we've talked about, because that's been a huge change. Like, and I don't mean, like, just at UNC. I mean everywhere. Like, some of the dudes coming out now, it's like, I don't know. It's scary. I'm glad I graduated when I did. Good luck to them, because there's, I'm sure, some violent collisions out there now with those guys they have playing.
We'll close with this. This kind of leads into that. I mean, what do you think about UNC football right now, the direction it's going? You're still in the state, and you're still highly connected with a lot of people there. I mean, how exciting is it for you to kind of see where this program's going?
Man, I love it. I love seeing them win. And people have asked me, like, oh, would you have wanted to play for the staff? I love the staff I played for. I love the teammates I had. I wouldn't trade those 4 years for the world. But I can say that and also say that I love where the team's at now. I love the direction they're heading in. I think that we're on an awesome trajectory. And I say we. Like, I'm not out there working out with them. I don't feel like saying we. I think they're on an awesome trajectory. I'm excited to support them, to help out and to cheer them on. But I think that, like, the recruits coming in now, I don't know if it's this year. I don't know if it's next year, 2 years, whatever it is. But, like, I think we'll see some big things coming out of Chapel Hill with the players they have there, with the coaches they have, the staff they put together. It's really exciting.
Gotta get you at every game coming up here next season.
Oh, I'll be there. I mean, I'll be in Chapel Hill for all of them. I might be over at Bob's. Maybe I'll get into the stadium for some of them. But no, I love Chapel Hill so much. And that's why I only live 15 minutes down the road. So I'll be going to plenty of games.
And we got
to
get you tweeting out Heels by 30 more. I feel like you haven't been tweeting that at all for the basketball season and football.
I caught a lot of flack for that, because we were losing a lot of games when I did it. And being team player that I am, if the people think we're losing when I do it, I'll take a step off, take my foot off the gas for it.
There you go. Anything else, Don? You good?
I'm good. I just really appreciate Shaq being a guest today.
We'll have to get him back on with a little more time. We'll have to get you on maybe in the summer with a little more time.
Yeah, and I'd love to. I mean, I feel terrible about the audio. I didn't know it was terrible the whole time. It was okay on mine. If you want to do this, redo it later on the day, I'd be more than happy to.
Okay.
I think it was good. It just went in and out a couple of times.
It was in and out. You could hear most of it. All right, we really appreciate it, Shaq. We'll be right back with more of the Scoop podcast.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Thanks, thanks, Shaq.
All right, we're back on the Scoop. Hopefully you enjoyed that interview with Shaquille Rashad. We apologize for the audio. The times of COVID, you know, Zoom. We had Shaq on the video, and then he went on the phone, so we had a lot of different things working there. But you probably got the gist of most of the things he said. Funky audio is just kind of a product of not being in person and doing these interviews. But I love Shaq. He was one of my favorite guys to cover. Only covered him for, I think, a year or two, but his 2015 season was awesome. And that team with him, Jeff, Marquise, Elijah Hood, Ryan Switzer, Bug Howard, Quinshaw Davis, it was so many strong personalities, and it was a really fun time to always interview those guys. Don?
Yeah, so as I said during our interview with him, he was always accessible, like unbelievably accessible. I mean, one time he was in a store, I remember when we were doing the interview, which was great. And during that year, that was key, because you had one, you had Butch Davis being fired. So I had to get a hold of all the commits. What do you think? And if you have a guy who you know is going to answer your phone, it takes a lot of stress off of me, because when that sort of stuff happens, some recruits, they don't want to answer questions because they don't know what to say. They don't know what to think. They don't know what they're going to do. So the last thing they want to do is answer questions about that sort of stuff. And he's just such a smart guy and just so quick on his feet that I think,
yeah,
you know, it was just natural for him. The Mesmer-Teo stuff I thought was really interesting that he brought up. And really, you know, we always say kids should choose a school because of the school and not the football program. And it's great to see that, you know, someone actually does that or did that.
Yeah, I mean, Shaq is very sharp and very bright. Like, he probably knew, man, like, getting the education from a good school and have fun at is far more important than, you know, if I'm going to go to the NFL or not. And he had a shot at the NFL, and he had a great college career. And I think he loves Carolina, man. He's still close with a lot of the players and all his buddies from college, and kind of the epitome of a student athlete, college athlete, who really took advantage of being good and athletic and got his degree and had a great time and won some games. And here you are.
Yeah. That's the way you got to do it. That's the way that recruit should do it with that approach. Make it to NFL. Great. If not, you're still set because you got your degree.
Yeah. And he's great with media. I mean, I think he could definitely pursue media if he wanted to. Just he's so personable and affable and things like that. All right, we're going to close here before the top five. I wanted to mention one thing I saw on your scoop, Don, about Ryan Smith, mm-hmm. Who leaving UNC to become the director of player personnel at Auburn. He was on the staff at UNC under
Billy High.
I don't know why I forgot that. I recognize the name, don't know too much about him. I don't know if I could pick him out of lineup, but what does that mean for UNC? What did he do at UNC, and what is he going to be doing now at Auburn?
The way that the staff is structured, both him and Bobby Brown are directly underneath Billy High, and they're, I guess, more the front line for evaluations and that sort of stuff. They're not making like decisions, but they're filtering out the really, really crappy guys and sending on anybody who is remotely the coaches might like onto the coaching staff and then eventually, it's a much longer process than I'm making it sound, but eventually decisions are being made whether to offer a kid or where they kind of fit in the board, that sort of thing. He was involved with that. He did a bunch of other things with, visits and recruiting in general, but, basically one of Billy High's two right-hand men sort of thing, go-tos for that.
Okay.
And I think it also needs to be mentioned is that, obviously Billy came from Auburn.
Yeah.
And Ryan worked with Billy at Auburn. I think it says a lot about a person when someone goes to another position, another place, and they bring someone, a coworker with them. It kind of speaks to just the level of respect that Billy High has for Ryan Smith.
For sure. I think they've really increased the amount of staff on the recruiting staff at UNC under Billy High. That's been a big focus for Mac Brown. We don't really see – I don't really see that. I think a lot of fans don't realize how many people are working on the recruiting staff. And there's analysts for every position, every side mm-hmm. of the ball. And then below them, there's even more staff that handle visits, and there's student volunteers and student interns that do a lot of stuff as well. It's a massive operation. It's getting bigger and bigger every year at every school. I think probably 20 years ago, there was probably only a handful of people that did recruiting as their full-time job, and now it's a whole department with – probably close to 15, 20 people that whose day-to-day's job is 100% recruiting.
Yeah. When I first started, it was basically just the assistant coaches that did anything with all that stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of students who would help here and there with stuff. And then it kind of evolved to where you had that one guy, that player personnel guy who kind of became the recruiting coordinator. Before, there wasn't, like, now the recruiting coordinator on staff is more kind of just a title. Before, mm-hmm. when I first started, a recruiting coordinator actually was the coordinator of recruiting. And it just kind of has evolved, as you said.
All right. We're going to get into top five here quickly. First, I teased at the beginning, Don turned 40 on Friday. And we were talking off air. I mean, Don's lived half his life. Probably. I mean, there's a good chance Don will probably die between the ages of 80, 75 and 85. Given his...
My grandfather passed away at 94.
Okay.
So I have a grandfather. But then my other grandfather passed away before I was born. So
how old was he?
I don't know exactly how old he was. Yeah. Fairly young though, obviously.
So looking back at your last 40 years, I mean, how would you kind of evaluate your life?
Especially when I'm on a podcast with Ross Martin, how could it be any better?
I know.
You know?
It's like when you're staring at Don Callahan, you're like, what am I doing with my life right now? No, I mean, seriously, I mean, what do you think about your life right now?
I mean, I can't complain. I have a great family, healthy, beautiful wife who kicks my ass, which is much needed. Live in a great area in Holly Springs.
I love it.
I have a great job that I've been working at for, almost half my life, to be honest.
You've been there 20 years in South Carolina?
Not 20 years, but like it's something like, I think it's like 18, something like that. So,
gosh, you started like right after college within South Carolina.
I started while I was in college.
Doing part-time stuff for them, maybe?
Yeah, I actually started full-time. This is back when, this is Scout, but it was called The Insiders. I started with them full-time while I was in college. So a little known fact, I graduated with a BS in computer science and a math minor. Yeah. And so I had to basically, once I graduated, I was already working. I had to make a decision. Do I want to go into computer programming, which is what I went to school for? Or do I want to basically just toss my degree down the toilet and continue with this playing around with football recruiting stuff?
How did you become full-time? Was it in South Carolina when you became full-time?
No, actually it was. So I started with Inside Carolina part-time. I started a high school football website, met Miller Seyfried, who those who have been longtime Inside Carolina subscribers know who Miller Seyfried is.
Okay.
And he, I was looking for a job and all that. And he hooked me up with Buck Sanders, mighty and powerful Buck Sanders. Buck hired me part-time while I was in college, just doing a few stories a week. And then the Insiders / Scout.com was expanding, and Miller was allowed to hire someone, and he chose to hire me full time. Another little known fact, I was actually only supposed to work for Scout, not Inside Carolina.
Okay.
Ben Sherman put his foot down and said I wasn't leaving Inside Carolina. Whoa. So they worked out a arrangement to where I would still do part-time with Inside Carolina, but work for Scout.com, and then, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah. You do have great job security here, I feel like. Like, you've been here 18 years, whatever you just said. And, I mean, been crushing it ever since. Okay. Anything else about your life? I mean, you're sitting here.
I mean, I got a great co-host. Great co-host for my podcast that I do every other week, you know, and he's my best friend, even though he didn't come to my birthday party because he was in another country.
Do you think you'll have this job, I mean, the rest of your life? Like, what do you want to say here? But like, do you like when
I gotta be very careful, right?
When you're 55, are you still covering UNC football recruiting?
I don't
probably, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Okay.
Would you want to be covering UNC football recruiting age 55?
I mean, as it sits right now, yeah. I mean, okay. I still enjoy it. It's such an interesting job because literally every class is, you know this, every class is different. You're dealing with different kids, different situations, different coaches, different sources. So that keeps me occupied. And I love the flexibility. I love the fact that, you know, and I know you get on to me for it, but I love the fact that I go to all my daughter's, you know, basketball practices, forget about games and tournaments. I go to all the practices, pull out my laptop and I can work and no problem. You know what I mean? Yeah. I love that sort of stuff. So that's a huge, huge perk. And yeah, I mean, Buck and Ben take care of me. You know, even though I'm a pain in their ass, on a weekly basis, they take care of me. So, and everybody, I mean, we don't really, there's nobody that we work with that's like a turd, you know?
I would love to see what people what they think about that.
Yeah, I mean, we have a really good group of people, and a lot of them have been in Inside Carolina for a very long time, and I think there's a reason for that.
Who's your favorite?
My favorite is Buck Sanders.
All right. Okay, let's get into our top five. I'm kind of doing research right now as we speak. I've been thinking about it, but I just kind of forgot to put it all together, but I have some ideas. Let's read two each, Don.
Okay. All right.
And then we'll get out of here. We'll give our top five. I think this is a very interesting, I'm actually getting into movies more.
Me too.
I just feel like I've forgotten about movies because I've been watching so many shows.
Yes.
And then you sit down and you watch a movie. It's like, damn, that's really good.
I actually have gone and like gotten a bunch of like really, really old movies. And rewatch some of the stuff. There's some stuff like I rewatch because of this. I rewatch Godfather 2 because like I've learned that like a lot of the movies I watched when I was younger, mm-hmm. I don't know if I watched like the like from the beginning to end. Like I saw pieces, or maybe because that was before, you know, like movies yeah. became so prevalent that you'd watch like a cut up version on television on TNT or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
I will say that some of these mob movies are so slow that
the movies have changed. Movies nowadays, because us humans or us Americans, everything's so fast paced with the way our lives are. But yeah, the movies have to be fast paced now. But yeah, a movie from
like
the 70s.
I haven't watched Godfather all the way through any one of them.
Really?
They're probably falling asleep. And the new one that came out on Netflix, I haven't finished either because it's too long.
Which one is that? Oh, the Irishman?
Yes. Yes.
That's really, really good. But yeah, it's really long. I've watched it three times.
I'm sure I'd like it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into it, Don. I'll start. We'll start from the top. God, we have a lot of submissions.
Yeah, people love this one. Our next top five needs to be another movie one.
Ooh, I'm seeing a lot that are striking my memory too. Okay, I'm gonna start from the bottom. Brad from Charlotte. 5, Empire Strikes Back. 4, John Wick Chapter 2, 3, Lethal Weapon 2, Godfather 2, and 1, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
I'm going to keep with your trend, and I'm going to read your buddy. I feel like you know this guy.
I don't know this guy.
Preston. Got a goofy. Preston in Greensboro. All right, so he starts off, okay. Okay. Number 5, Return of the Pink Panther. Number 4, Naked Gun 2.5. Number 3, Godfather Part 2. Number 2, Empire Strikes Back. Number 1, Debbie Does Dallas Twice. Number 2, I didn't know Debbie did Dallas Twice. Any comments? Have you seen his number one?
No. Okay. I'm assuming that's a pornographic film. But I would not know. Okay. Funny, Preston. All right, we'll go Andy from Raleigh. 5, The Bourne Supremacy. I love the Bourne franchise, and the sequel did not disappoint. 4, Toy Story 2. Had to show the softer side here and add my favorite animated sequel. Hey, we support getting in touch with your softer side here on The Scoop. 3, Back to the Future 2. Going to show my age on the next few as a kid growing up in the 80s. These movies hold a special place in my heart. Marty and Doc were quite the pair. 2, Terminator 2. And 1, The Color of Money. This movie inspired me to pick up a cue 35 years ago, and I'm still playing today. I guess he means like a pool cue.
I've never seen The Color of Money, so
me
I don't
either.
Know.
But okay.
All right, I'm gonna go with Michelle and Charlotte. This is Jake Lawler's mother.
Oh yeah,
big movie.
Jake's killing it in Hollywood. It looks like I follow Jake on Instagram. He's killing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad that he's doing it. Such a nice kid. Oh, and that family in overall, it's a great family. All right, number 5. One of Jake's favorites of all time, Toy Story 2. Number 4, The Dark Knight. Number 3, Avengers Endgame. Number 2, Fast 5. And number 1, Terminator 2.
Right, great. And we'll read, I'll read one more. We got Vlad from St. Petersburg, a Russian listener. Who knew that we were big in Russia? Terminator 2, Bourne Supremacy. Captain America, Civil War, Fast 5, and James Bond, Skyfall.
All right.
You want to read another one?
Yeah, I'll read one more.
Noah had a big time breakdown.
Yeah. Do you want me to do that? I don't know if I want to read that much.
Either Noah or Dale, they always reply.
Yeah, so. I'll go Noah. I'm not going to read all of it, but this isn't in order, so I'll go reverse. The Bourne Ultimatum. Number 4, The Empire Strikes Back. Number 3, Indiana Jones, Last Crusade. Number 2, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. And number 1, The Dark Knight.
Okay. Some good ones there. All right, you're up.
All right, all right, all right. God, this was hard. I have six, and I'm going to.
You can name them all. I'm having a little trouble.
Okay, all right. More time. My number six was Creed. I thought they did a really good job with the Rocky. I mean, it's kind of like a restart, but you know, it's still part of the Rocky group.
Yeah.
And they did a really good job, but also they mentioned my neighborhood in Philadelphia, Frankfurt. They actually, Rocky actually took, whatever his name is, Creed's son to Frankfurt to work at one point. So that's obviously gets, points in my book. Number five for me, Austin Powers Gold Member. I love the Austin Powers.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, I love the Austin Powers with Fat Bastard and especially Gold Member, and his name is Fat Bastard.
Okay.
And Mini-Me and all that sort of stuff. Number four, Rocky II. It's kind of hard to pick which Rocky I like the best, but I had to pick Rocky representing Philadelphia. Number three, Hangover Part II. I love the first Hangover, and I thought the second one, they did a good job of kind of sticking with the same sort of format, but adding a different twist to it.
Yeah, I didn't think it was nearly as good, but...
No, it wasn't. But, I mean, the characters are awesome. I watched the movie. What's God, he has a funny last name. The beard.
Oh, Galifianakis.
Galifianakis. I watched, what was the movie? Due Date with him in it. And yeah, it was hysterical. I think he's, anyway.
He's from North Carolina.
Is he really? I didn't know that.
I think he went to NC State.
Okay. All right. Number two. This top two was tough for me. Dark Knight. Dark Knight is probably one of the best movies. Great movie.
Now, that's a sequel because there's been so many Batmans, right?
Well, so there was the Batman. Yeah. And that was the other thing was like the whole Batman and even like Spider-Man. There's like they restarted kind of. So that was the sequel because I double checked. That was a sequel to like Batman Begins. Batman Begins was like a new one.
Same Batman. Same guy who plays Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. But it wasn't like the Batmans that began in the early 90s, though. It's kind of separate in a way. But anyway, number one, gave it away earlier. Godfather Part Two. It's just a completely different movie from the first one. And it was kind of like a prequel and a sequel put together before movies start doing prequels, which was kind of neat in the way they kind of intertwined it and, you know, great actors and all that sort of stuff. Pacino and, God, what's his name?
I don't know. Okay. Let's move on.
All right, who's your five?
Okay, so I kind of been coming up with this. I thought about it for a little bit and came up with a couple here. So stay with me here. I'm still kind of looking through. You know, I want to say Dumb and Dumber because I love Dumb and Dumber, but I never saw the sequel. I'm sure it's great, though. So I can't say that because I never saw it.
No,
also,
I don't think I've ever seen Dumb and Dumber Part 2.
Yeah, it came out relatively recently.
Oh, that was like when Harry actors. Met... Yeah, when
but
Harry
there's
met
another him. One. Yeah, I'm not really sure, but I didn't see it, so I can't be my one. Also, I'd love to say Point Break. There was a sequel that came out, Point Break. Point Break is one of my favorite all-time movies, but I never saw the sequel, so I can't put that as one of mine. Okay, this is falling apart here. Okay, I mean, easily either one of the Star Wars. I'm a big star, low-key big Star Wars guy.
Really?
You see this sports writer. You see
so
this
you're
jock.
A Trekkie.
You see this guy, you know, big sports guy, great hair, all that stuff. Who would have thought? I was a huge Star Wars guy growing up, collected the figures. Parents got me on the movies. And so I would go probably Return of the Jedi if I had to pick one. If you're thinking New Hope is one, it's actually the fourth movie if you're going in chronological order. And then Empire Strikes Back is the fifth movie. Return of the Jedi is the sixth. But I go Return of the Jedi over Empire Strikes Back, which I think is a little controversial there. I'm going to say Mighty Ducks D2. Love the Mighty Ducks franchise.
Okay.
All three of them I think are great. You had the first one, which was like in the neighborhood and playing in the local group. And they went to the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, and faced the Iceland team. And then I want to say, I'm not sure what the third one was about. Third one was like, maybe they went pro or something like that. But I go Mighty Ducks D2. I got to go Austin Powers. I don't even know which one would be the second one. But
that franchise is awesome.
All three are great. Or is there three or four? I mean, all of them are great. So any one of those. Now, Toy Story, I saw a lot of people pick that. I don't remember two. Whatever one when they went to the trash landfill, it might have been three or four. I don't even know if there was a fourth one. But I thought the third one, if that's what I'm thinking of, was great. So one of those as well, Toy Story. That franchise is really good. They've evolved. They have good storylines. So I'll go with that. And then Dark Knight, I mean, that was an easy one. That was one I thought of without reading everybody's. I mean, that's one of the better movies of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. The acting was unbelievable.
And Heath Ledger. And then I'll throw in Home Alone 2.
Okay. Guy, how many did you have total?
I mean, I have six written down here.
Okay. I felt like it was like 10, but all right.
Yeah, I mean, I was scrolling, dude. I mean, some of these don't really do it for me. And
yeah.
It's hard to remember, like, kind of. Oh, I missed a great one. American Pie 2.
Yeah. And it's kind of sort of along the same lines of Hangover 2, where it was kind of like the same sort of things kind of sort of happened, just different people or whatever.
Yeah. And like the first one does so well, and just off of that first one, they can make money with the second one and third one. It might not be as good of a movie, but they just know that name and how good the first one was. They can ride that momentum.
Yeah. That's what they do with so many movies. Yeah.
And they have the same cast, and it's easy money. All right, Don, that's about all we got. Big episode. Hopefully you enjoyed the recruiting tidbits, the Shaquille Rashad interview, and our top five. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Any commitments we were expecting other than kind of focusing on the Jalen Walker situation?
Well, let's see. Two weeks, we will be right before the Jalen Walker situation. Okay, so we might have
some news.
Maybe some news.
Maybe good some news and updates there. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. How about that?
Sounds good.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.